The Desert Healthcare District and Foundation presents a podcast that supports your health and wellness where you live. This is Healthy Desert, Healthy You, hosted by Will Dean. Now, here's Will.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Healthy Desert, Healthy You. I am joined by two special guests, which is rare for us, but I'm excited to speak with Dr. Roseanne Rosenthal and Marsha Utella of the California Indian Nations College in Palm Desert. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
We're excited to be here.
I am so excited that you're here. I was telling you before we started recording that I actually had not heard of the college before I met one of your staff at a recent event in Palm Desert. So for those listeners and viewers like me, tell us, what is the California Indian Nations College?
You want to go, Dr. Rosenthal?
California Indian Nations College is a college that was started to help promote Native Americans in higher education. Typically, throughout the country, there's less than 1% at any college or university of Native Americans. We hoped to increase that. We are an associate's degree level, so the first 2 years, and from there on, they transfer on to universities. So that's basically how or where we started.
When was it founded?
In 2017. I actually was one of the first graduates. There were four of us that year.
Yeah,
there were four.
We graduated in 2019.
Fantastic.
Go ahead, Marsha. So SINC was formally founded in 2017 under the tribal charter, and it began offering courses in 2018. And we achieved accreditation February 3rd of this year. We're excited about that.
That is very exciting. So how many students, since 2017, 2018, how many students have actually gone through the programs?
Right now, I was trying to get the exact number, but I'll tell you, it's over 60 that have gone through it and graduated.
Yeah. Fantastic. And yeah, as you and mentioned, go ahead.
I just wanted to add in too, we had, I believe, about 10 or so get their high school diplomas through us as well, Dr. Rosenthal.
It's a little bit more than that. A few more. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We're partnered with Coachella Valley Adult Education at the moment. And so we are also working with them where we offer tutoring service for them to go through that program as well.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, so what are some of the barriers that members of our Native communities are facing in terms of education?
I would say one of the biggest, there's several. One of them being employment. They have to work. They have family responsibilities, children, and then their elders as well. You typically find that they're, as they say, the sandwich generation, where they have to take care of both. Money is another one. Some of them have been out of school for a long time and want to return. We have a lot of single moms that are also our students. And so we find that because we have virtual classes, that helps out with that, with those barriers, with those challenges.
I think too, to add on to Dr. Rosenthal, when I was going through my undergrad, it was scary, honestly. And I started my secondary education later in life. I think our average is 33 years old that start with SINC. I was 29 when I went for my undergrad, and it was scary. It really was. I didn't know of any resources that were available as a Native student. I didn't know it actually until I went into my master's program, what type of scholarships and things were out there, but also attending university or college. It's scary. For my master's program, I had to go to campus. I was in the middle of my undergrad during COVID, and so it was hard. It was scary not knowing, and that's one thing I really like about SINC is they're there for you. They're there to help support you, and I think just being scared is a big part of that as well.
Right, and I want to go back to something Dr. Rosenthal said about the reason for starting the college, and I did read on your website how important it is to foster a continuation of the culture and the languages and the Native American values. So I'm curious, how do you integrate all of that into your degree programs? Or is it just a matter of fostering a welcoming environment with the cultural traditions on display? Tell me how you do that.
we are focused on Native American student outcomes. We have a very strong Native American-centered pedagogy. So all of our classes basically focus on how do we bring community, how do we bring culture, how do we bring the language into our classroom? And we spent a lot of time preparing for that or developing courses that will incorporate that. I'll give you a great example. A lot of people think that science is not part of the Native American culture or anything like that. And so I teach anthropology, and for my physical anthropology, we talk about evolution. But what I do is I actually send my students out to talk to elders and ask them what their perspective of evolution is. And so they give us, so we really bring in that knowledge that our elders have to help us learn about these things, because Native Americans we are scientists, we're engineers, we're mathematicians, we're healers, we have pharmacology, all of that. And bringing that to light and bringing that to the surface to show the students, we have this already, and have them be proud of their culture and their people that they had such an impact on society and the world. I think it really gives them like, wow, this is a space for me. So that's basically our focus.
So it sounds like it's a merging of tradition and natural knowledge with science, with academic education, which is very rare. One thing that came to my mind when I first heard about SYNC, I'll call it SYNC, Marsha's been calling it SYNC. When I first heard about it, I thought about the historically Black colleges and universities in our country, and they're facing some threats and funding shortages and that possibly more. But one of the questions that comes up for anyone who's gone to an HBCU is, can I attend if I'm not considered a Black student? Do you get that question in terms of, can I attend SYNC if I'm not part of the Native community? And how do you answer that?
I think the answer is yes, you can. And that usually that conversation happens when we are out there tabling at an event, and they come up and ask our admissions. Anybody is able to and are welcome to attend our college. So it doesn't matter whether you're Native or not.
Okay. Excellent. And it's the same for HBCUs. So tell me about the areas of study that you offer through your Associate of Arts degree programs.
Do you want to take that, Marsha, or do you want me to take it?
Sure. Yeah, we can talk about that. So we do offer the anthropology, like Dr. Rosenthal had mentioned. We have the ethnic studies. We have liberal arts with an emphasis in arts and humanities, as well as business and technology, and social and behavior sciences. We do have associates in psychology. I think that one right there is probably the one that is most popular from my understanding. And then we also have an associates in general business. All of the programs that I just mentioned do include a Native American studies breadth requirement. So there is a list of classes that we offer. They need 6 credits. No matter what degree they go or which one they choose, they need to complete 6 of those. And a lot of them are geared towards Native American culture and traditions. And there is a big list that we do have that they're able to choose from. Some of them do run at different units, but it has to equal 6, no matter which one you go to. So you'll still get a piece of that culture and tradition in your degree.
I love that. So when we get down to actually being admitted and starting, so how does your tuition costs compared to other associate degree programs?
So right now, the spring semester is the last semester that we're actually offering free courses. Now that we are accredited, I believe we're going to be charging $320 for each credit moving forward starting in fall. So I believe we do have some summer courses that we are offered through June to July right now, but they're more compact because it's a summer schedule. So we're looking at doing that moving forward, starting in fall. In terms of other places, again, I just really feel with SYNC, we do have more of our programs geared towards Native American culture and traditions. And so that's where I can see the comparison. Yeah, other colleges do offer some classes here or there, but we offer a wide range versus other colleges or universities. I don't know if you want to add on to that, Dr. Rosenthal.
That's pretty much it. We do offer quite a bit. We are expanding. We will be expanding our STEM program. So that should be coming here shortly. We do have a biology, but we would definitely, we're looking to expand the sciences as well.
I was on your website and I read about the founding committee members who now have an advisory role. So what types of things do they advise you on?
There are board of trustees. Okay. So the founding committee of you, or the person actually, is Teresa Mike. And she's the one that actually started. This was her dream. And she's very proud of the school that she has founded. And she does sit on our board of trustees. But they are always very invested and very active with our school in all that we do.
Now, I do know the Mike name is being affiliated with a local tribe, which I think is important to name in the episode. Which tribe
Palms
is that?
Band of Mission, yeah. So it would be 29 Palms Band of Mission Indians. They did contribute a large amount of money to get us off our feet and get the college going. And they were a huge contributor to the college initially, and they still are a part of it. And we're so great to have them. Otherwise, the college wouldn't be here today. And yeah, I don't know if you want to elaborate, Dr. Rosenthal, but yeah.
We have several of the tribes around surrounding area that have really supported us in everything that we've done. They've been just wonderful when it comes to helping us with our commencement or just events that we have. They're always there to support us. So our students feel so welcomed and so supported. And I think that's one of the most important things, that they see community that's always involved.
Absolutely. So I'm wondering, how do you see the college growing? Is it a matter of having more associate degree programs, having a bachelor degree program, more students? What is the goal or the dream?
All of the above and a campus. A big campus. So we're working with that now. But yes, all of the above. We really do. Our plan is to expand our more degree programs and also to include allied health, nursing, and medical front and back office, because these are the things that are needed in the communities as of now. And so just to be able to train our students, educate our students so they can get back to their communities, that's our main purpose and our main goal.
Yeah, I just want to add in too, we do have offices at UCR Palm Desert. And we also have offices at the Mecca Thermal. I think that's College of the Desert. So we have offices there as well as a classroom. So we are looking at expanding. We do have building a campus in the near future, I believe, here in Riverside. So we have big, exciting things coming in the next couple of years. So we're really excited about that. So
I love that. So how can our listeners and viewers support Think?
I think they can support us by coming to our events. We have the 2026 Native American and Indigenous Education Summit coming up this Saturday at Saboba Casino Resort. It's free to attend. Anybody can come. It doesn't matter who you are. You're welcome to come. It's a free event. It's from 8 to 3. We do have assembly members Jackson and Gonzalez, who are going to be our honored speakers. We have Dr. Paro Stanley from New Zealand, who is flying in to come and be our keynote. We have several different breakout sessions that we have to touch in different areas of education. And so I'm really looking forward to it. It's my first education summit with SYNC. And so, yeah, we have free food, breakfast and lunch. Come and attend. We do have our gathering under the stars every year. This year we did it in February. I believe normally it's in November. And that's also free to the public as well. And we have a lot of different vendors that come and sell their items, whether it's Native American, that type of thing, or if they just have something that they would like to display. We have a lot of vendors that come as well from different colleges and universities in the area. We even had UNLV in February that attended. Yeah, so just keep an eye out for any of the events that we hold. Normally, they are free to the public. And follow us on our social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Threads, we're on TikTok. So at SYNC College, follow us. So yeah, that's how they can come and find us.
And you have a website, which is cincollege.org.
Yes.
Lots of great information there. I want you to speak, and maybe it's anecdotally, but I'm curious about when you get an associate degree, a lot of times the goal is to pursue a bachelor's degree then in higher education. From there, how does being at SYNC, what are you hearing from students and how they feel prepared for that next step?
Okay. I can jump into it. I think 67% of our students that do come to SYNC do graduate on into a four-year institution. And so we do have this program called Pathbreakers Program, and every SYNC student is enrolled in that program, and there's different tiers to it. We are currently adding on to it. I think we're on up to 5 tiers currently. And so what we do is even after they graduate with SYNC, we help support them even at the four-year institution at a minimum of 3 years after they graduate with us. So it's important. Like I said, it is scary. It is scary. And I think that's why a lot of our students come to us, because we're there to help them no matter what it is, no matter what the situation is. We're always there to help them even after they leave us, graduate and leave us. And so I think that's another piece that really draws them in with us. And like I said, it is a minimum of 3 years that we help them. And so just making those connections, I know some of our advisors go out to different colleges and universities and do tours with them and introduce them to folks there, whether they have their own Native American department there, they're introduced to those folks. So then when they do go, they know a familiar face, they know who they can talk to. And so that I think is really a huge important piece to that program. I don't know if you want to add, Dr. Rosenthal, is just some things that I've been learning since I've been with SYNC. I started January 5th this year, so I'm still new. So learning as I go, but that's just some of the stuff that I've learned so far. I don't know if you want to add to that.
Most of our students that have applied to transfer to 4 year, if not all, at this point it's all, have actually, they've been accepted to 4 year universities. We have students that went beyond their bachelor's. We have some in the master's programs. I got my PhD after I graduated from SYNC. So we have quite a bit of students that have moved on and are doing very well and are very successful. We do plan to keep in touch with them. We have an alumni group now, and we do a lot of mentoring. So those that have left us and are now in their careers also come back and talk to our students, that the ones that are in it are going through the process right now of their program. So we have a lot of exciting things, and it's customized for each student because not one is the same. Their experiences are quite different on how they get through school. So we customize what for their needs, that we meet them where they're at and help them through and get them to achieve their dreams, actually, because we will ask them. One of our advisors says, if there's no cost, what is it that you'd want to do in your life? And that's how she starts off the conversation. So she asks them, what is your dream? What do you want to be? What is it that you want to do in life? And we take it from there and hope to basically help them fulfill that dream.
Yeah. So just kind of add to that too, is we help build the confidence and academic identity with them. We strengthen critical thinking through a culturally relevant framework and provide transfer pathways for articulation agreements, as well as offering mentorship and individualizing advising with them. And so that's where Dr. Rosenthal's staff steps in, and they do an amazing job. So I really give them high honors for what they do because they help the students out so much.
I've never heard of a college or university doing that, the 3 years of postgraduate support and advocacy. That's really incredible.
Yeah, that's what sets us apart from everybody, to be honest. The universities that I've attended didn't, they don't offer that. Yeah, we're alum, but like for SYNC, we have a lot of our alum that will come and volunteer for our events. And Dr. Rosenthal said they'll come and speak to the students on their path, their journey that they've been on, and help encourage other students to keep pushing forward. And I think that's really important. So it definitely sets us aside.
So do most of your students who graduate, do they go to schools within California? Is it outside of California? Is it just wherever?
Wherever. whatever their dream school is, that's where they go. Yeah. And we will reach out to those schools that they want to go to and develop partnerships with them so that they know that we are always there for them in case they need help. They can even come back and say, I need tutoring. I'm taking this class at UCR and I need help with this class. They can always come back and we will be more than happy to help them with that. We'll find a tutor for them to help them through that class. So we don't ever just let them sail off by themselves. They know that we're always there ready for them in case they need more assistance.
It sounds like an extended family almost.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. The education event you mentioned is going to be March the 28th. You have a lot of events, a lot of great information on your website, which is cincollege.org. I want to thank you both so much for being a part of the podcast. As I said at the beginning, I learned about this. I was fascinated to learn more, and I'm glad that I did. I wish you nothing but success in your growth and expansion. Thank you for being part of the show.
Thank you so much for having us. I appreciate it, and I look forward to hearing it.
So there you have it. If you want to see more episodes like this, then you will find us on Spotify, Audible, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. Be well, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Healthy Desert, Healthy You. This podcast is a production of the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation in Palm Springs, California. For more information, please visit the website dhcd.org. Our annual conference site is healthydeserthealthyyou.com. This podcast is available at most major podcast portals, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Captivate.fm, Spotify, and YouTube Music. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe.